of Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Shout out to Chloe. Thanks so much for listening. And coming up at 1 o'clock, your volunteer on the river host will be DJ Ironsides out of the KBXE studios. And tonight from 7 to 10, Will Owens will be over in Grand Rapids.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
That sample in this Fuji song you're hearing is from a band called Say Monday. It's a song called Dove from Say Monday's 1972 debut. The Fugees were just one of many groups who sampled Say Monday in the 90s, decades after they stopped making music. And even the members of Say Monday themselves had no idea it was happening.
I first became aware that there was a new interest in the Say Monday material through one of my children, because they were listening to hip-hop and rap and all that.
That's Say Monday's Steve Scipio. Today, he and his bandmate Patrick Patterson tell the story of their comeback, and they talk about what it was like watching black bands come from the U.S. to the U.K. and be embraced, even when they themselves weren't.
I think they were seen as a less of a threat, probably, because they just come and did their gigs and went back to the U.S., whereas we were there on a permanent basis. They were less tolerant.
Say Monday, today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Department of Health has confirmed 20 cases of West Nile virus so far this year. Of those 20 cases, two people have died. Citing the recent increase, health officials urge Minnesotans to take precautions. West Nile virus is transmitted to people through the bite of an infected mosquito. Less than 1% of people bitten by an infected mosquito develop encephalitis or meningitis, and symptoms usually show up within 1 to 2 weeks. Elderly patients and those with weakened immune systems are at greatest risk for severe disease, followed by people who work outside or participate in outdoor activities. The highest risk areas for West Nile include the agricultural regions of western and central Minnesota, but cases of West Nile virus disease have been found throughout the state. Precautions against mosquito bites include using insect repellents that contain up to 30% DEET, pre-treating clothing and gear with permethrin products, and being extra cautious at dawn and dusk, the peak feeding time for mosquitoes from July to September. Two citizens are suing Itasca County leadership over alleged federal civil rights violations. Megan Buffington has more.
At last week's county board meeting, former Commissioner Doug Carpenter served all five current commissioners, Attorney Jacob Fotchold and Administrator Brett Skiles. Auditor Treasurer Austin Rowling and Sheriff Joe Dasovich are also being sued. Here's Carpenter serving Commissioner Terry Snyder in ICTV's meeting recording.
And least of all, you've told me that I should do things properly, and here I am.
Thank you,
Here's
Doug.
Your paper.
Robert Preble and John Casper allege that the leaders are violating the 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendments and the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act. They say the county has suppressed their negative public input, selectively enforced policies, failed to respond to data requests, and illegally prevented anonymous requests. Preble previously ran for county commissioner in two different districts. He addressed the board last week.
Let's be honest. This board has broken the trust of the very people it's sworn the oath to serve. For months, we submitted comments under your own policy, and you ignored them. We called, we emailed, we texted, and you would not respond.
Preble and Casper are asking the court to declare their rights have been violated, force the county to fulfill their data requests and offer anonymous comment, and to award compensatory damages. Administrator Skiles briefly addressed the comments, which he says he doesn't often do.
And I certainly won't respond to all the inaccuracies presented today.
Like
I would just point and see, look at this. I can't even get through one. I listened to his, what I would describe as character assassination, and
Robert
he speaks
Rule.
Out from the order. It's my floor right now. But I would just advise or invite any citizen who would like to have honest answers on those questions, please feel free to send me an email. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Public information.
Commissioner Larry Hopkins said he appreciated Preble and two others for presenting public input because it doesn't happen often. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
Around $7 billion in federal education funds will be restored after a multi-state lawsuit over the Trump administration's decision to freeze the funds in June. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison joined more than 20 other states in suing the administration, calling the funding freezes on six longstanding programs, quote, unconstitutional, unlawful, and arbitrary. On Tuesday, Ellison announced that the lawsuit will be dismissed, with stipulations that the remaining funds would be released by October 3rd. Most of the $74 million in education funds frozen in Minnesota were released by July 25th. Minnesota and other states have used these federal education funds for after-school and summer learning programs, programs for migrant and English as a second language learners, and teacher training. Construction on Highway 53 for the Eveleth and Rock Ridge transportation improvements is making progress, with the project expected to be complete in October. Beginning Wednesday, traffic will be moved back onto Highway 53 off of the detour route. Drivers can expect lane shifts and areas of head-to-head traffic. The roundabout at Progress Parkway will also open Wednesday, providing access to the schools ahead of the start of classes. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duras. The sound of Simonde is hard to pin down. The UK group pulls from calypso, reggae, funk, and jazz. Their rhythms have inspired iconic hip-hop groups like De La Soul, The Fugees, and Wu-Tang Clan. But when bassist Steve Scipio and guitarist Patrick Patterson first formed Simonde in South London in the 1970s, their visionary sound fell on deaf ears.
We didn't fit in. That's why it's taken us 50 years to get the sort of recognition in the United Kingdom that we're getting now.
I wonder why we play this game. We keep going on while things remain the same. We keep rolling on with no rhyme, no reason. Why not be one for each other? So we can say that's how.
That comeback includes a retrospective in the New York Times, a world tour, a stop at the Newport Jazz Festival, and a new album appropriately titled Renaissance.
That's how we roll. We're proud to say that's how. Can be much better if we control the pace, set the terms and conditions for a brand new day. That's how we roll.
Steve and Patrick both grew up in Guyana, and they both moved to the UK as kids. They're children of the Windrush generation, the wave of Caribbean immigrants who came to Britain after World War II. Steve remembers thinking he was headed to heaven on earth, but London was anything but sunny.
So the first thing my mom did when we were picked up was take us to our Woolworths and bought us all heavy coats, duffel coats.
Patrick had no real expectations of the UK, but he still remembers the reunion with his mom.
You know, I left my grandmother, who was the person who was bringing me up to that age. The best thing about it was that I was coming to meet my mother again after separation of about a year and a half.
Even in Guyana, music was already a big part of their lives.
I had, how can I say, rudimentary homemade instruments in Guyana. So things we would make as children, we'd make our own guitars and things like that. But in terms of, you know, proper musical instruments, that was not until I went to the UK. And I think the first proper instrument I purchased was a harmonica. That was my first introduction to music.
Back up just a little for me. What is a homemade guitar? How do you make one? What does that look like?
Oh, you just get,
it looks horrible.
Yes. I mean, you just get some strings and, you know, basically try to replicate a guitar. The tuning was probably not even anywhere close to what it needed to be, you know. But that's what we tried.
Patrick had a little bit more of a head start.
Well, you know, my older brother had a guitar, which he did not use. He's never been inclined that way. But it was around the house, and I started fiddling with it when I was quite young. But I really got well and truly, I started to get deeply into it from the age of about 13 or 14.
Both of them were like sponges, soaking up the sounds they heard playing at home. Nat King Cole, Sam Cooke, Jimi Hendrix, Solomon Burke. Steve and Patrick played in a jazz band called Meter before realizing they wanted to incorporate more of their own heritage into their music. They formed Saimonde in 1971, taking their name from a classic calypso tune called Dove and Pigeon.
I didn't have to figure, I knew Dove was smarter pigeon. Sure, he had dove covered, so he decided they would eat some pepper. Said,
and it was about competition between those two birds, as to which of the two could eat the most peppers. Hot peppers, I'm talking about. And the dove was the, how can I say, the cleverest of the two birds. And it found a way to relieve the heat while it was eating the pepper. And while it was doing that, the pigeon was continually eating the peppers. And there was this phrase that the dove would sing. It meant something like, coo, 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 bansi mande. Why, bansi mande? And then telling the pigeon, you must not say, that. And that was how it was relieving the burning of the peppers. And as a result, it won the competition.
You must say, and nobody shouldn't say.
In its original incarnation, Saimonde had 9 members, all of them part of London's Caribbean diaspora, hailing from countries like Jamaica and St. Vincent. At first, the band played small gigs in London in venues like the Oval House and the 100 Club. Soon after, Saimonde got an agent to help them book shows in cities farther north, like Manchester.
Yeah, so we used to travel a lot and do those small clubs. And some of them probably had never seen black people before, much less the music we were playing. So it was quite an experience in some cases.
In 1972, Saimonde released their self-titled debut album. Its lead single, called The Message, even reached the Billboard Hot 100 and the R&B charts in the U.S. But back home, Saimonde received little attention from British audiences. In fact, black artists from the U.S. found more success in the U.K. than homegrown acts like Saimonde did.
I think they were seen as a less of a threat, probably. They just come and did their gigs and went back to the U.S., whereas we were there on a permanent basis. They were less tolerant. You know, and that is reflected very much in our music. We wanted our music to not just to be rhythmically attractive, but also to have lyrics that said something.
We'll be right back. Despite the lukewarm response at home, doors kept opening abroad. Seymande toured with Al Green, performed on Soul Train, and they became the first British band to play the Apollo Theater, opening for soul legend Jerry Butler.
But it was quite an experience for us. And again, Apollo was one of those venues, you know, that we knew about from the UK. And I had this image of this really fantastic venue, and the thought of us, you know, leaving the UK and going to be playing at this venue was quite something for us.
Thank God you. I thank God.
Even as their star kept rising in the States, Steve says the UK just never got on board in a meaningful way.
It was a very difficult period for us growing up in a society where there's no accommodation for people of your kind. You know, and that was our experience. Everything was a battle. Everything was a struggle. Getting recognition. Even people going to the UK, highly skilled people going to the UK, were not accommodated. So they had to be taking work or employment that was below their skill level. You know, it was a very difficult time. And that was what we were trying to, the message of some of our songs with Seymande at that period. We were trying to communicate that aspect of the society that we were living in.
Here's Patrick.
I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of somebody who knows you're there but wants to take no notice of you. It's kind of like that for black music in Britain in those days, because the person might be thinking, if I look at them, if I acknowledge their presence, they might start to take up too much space in my life. And black music was treated in that sort of way. It was like, it was almost an active exclusion. America, open, gates are open, but then America, I suppose, was accustomed to great black music over many, many generations.
In 1975, the band took a hiatus.
We decided we'd take a break, maybe get the energies flowing again and the enthusiasm going again, and then revisit it in a couple of years. But other things kicked in, and other things being, of course, family, you know, family commitments. And before we knew it, 40 years had gone before we even...
Jesus Christ.
Before we even thought about putting it back together again.
During that time, both Patrick and Steve turned to law careers. Patrick always intended to become a lawyer, following in his father's footsteps. He worked as a defense lawyer, representing people caught in the snares of the UK's Vagrancy Act, which often criminalized young black Brits.
70s in the United Kingdom was quite a difficult period for young black people. And law, it seemed to me, and many, many other was an important pursuit.
For Steve, it wasn't an immediate transition from Seymande to law. He joined a South African band called Jabula for a while. And then, during a show in Sweden...
I actually left the band on. I regret it in a way now. I just left the guys. I said, guys, I've had enough of this. And I just got on the train the following day and headed back to the UK.
Steve eventually became Attorney General of Anguilla in the Caribbean. Then, something unexpected happened. Seymande began to reemerge without Patrick or Steve even knowing it.
Once again, it's time to buy more soul. Flavor you will savor in your soul. Wax is distributed in bin soul. Dishwasher sends you in your next of kin soul. PA makes his proctor on the console. Scream your heart until you blow your console. Bangle bang until you wear your shoe soul. You are now dancing to the bin soul.
For me, I first became aware that there was a new interest in the Simandé material through one of my children, because they were listening to hip hop and rap and all that kind of stuff at the time. And I think the first song that was brought to my attention was the De La Soul, a De La Soul sample.
In the late 80s and 90s, hip-hop groups began sampling their records. De La Soul's Change in Speak samples Simandé's 1973 single, Bra. The Fugees also sampled Simandé on The Score.
With the heat into your head, now you dead. White left, don't give a ooh if you're dead. Rock, rock, let me attach just like a black cat. You in the wrong neighborhood, check your map. Ooh, you gotta go for backup to do what you gotta do. So you be back with Francie, you traitor in your crew is my fool. He put poison in my tea and killed the toe, but I'll be back with Centipede. I'm on some new technique, drunk in bamboo. I'm taking off.
And then I really started realizing that something is happening with the catalog, the Simandé catalog.
I asked Steve if he knows why the band's music started to resonate so deeply with a new generation.
I think it's the beats, yeah. You know, our music was very different to what was being because of the emphasis on the bass. There's so much emphasis on the bass in our music. You have that emphasis on bass also in reggae. But reggae was slightly different in terms of how the rhythmic structure, you know, with the emphasis on the second beat of the, what we would call a four-bar setup, put the emphasis on the second beat. But with our music, the bass was not just a backing instrument. It was meant to be an instrument that spoke in the same way as a guitar or the saxophone. You know? So the phrases were constructed with the bass. And I think that is probably what some of the attraction was with the music.
What started as a smattering of samples grew into a full-fledged revival. Younger audiences raised on hip-hop sought out the originals and rediscovered Simandé. Now, 50 years after their first record, the band is still going strong.
As I said, it's the appreciation that we're receiving from this younger audience, that they're able to recognize and appreciate what it is we were trying to do then and what it is we are continuing trying to do now with the new albums. Maybe the amount of people who approached the band afterwards for the signing of an autograph in our latest album, you know, it was really fantastic, the response and the reaction.
Hearing Simandé now, you feel both the weight of the band's history and something entirely new. It's the sound of a band finally finding its footing, half a century after its founding.
There's a danger or a risk of just, how can I say it, trying to recapture what it is you had in the 70s. When the world is no longer what it was in the 70s. Things have changed. You know, music has changed. Listening audiences changed, people's appreciation of art has changed. So I was trying to find a balance with this new album, trying to find that balance between the 70s and what we're trying to do now. And obviously, you know, as people, we've matured, different influences in your life and in how it's reflected in the music.
I want to thank Steve Scipio and Patrick Patterson of Simandé for joining us on the show. Simandé's new album, Renaissance, is out now. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my session with Semande. If you want to know more about Semande, there's a great documentary about them called Getting It Back, The Story of Semande that came out a couple of years ago. And it features a ton of interviews with artists you will probably recognize who are big Semande fans, like Mark Ronson and Jim James. And this band, where you can probably hear the Semande influence, it's Krungbin, Time, You and I. We'll be right back. Public Radio's most listened to music program. This is World Cafe.
I try to call and I can say, hey, I've got an idea. Sometimes I just need to hear your voice. I try to come off as gentle as a lamb. And I am, if I could clear the noise. Cause it's the middle of the night, everything is so still, the air's electrified. With the light of the moon and promise and a tune, I've been waiting for all my life. Times like these seem so rare, there's so few ripples in the air. The night unveils her mystery. I feel awake within a dream where nothing's as it seems. In the dark it helps me see beyond meaning. Is often hard for me. The earth begins to tremble and shake. When it holds me, I belong. Tethered to a sense of place. Cause it's the middle of the night, you've been asleep for hours. Funny how I end up right back here. Cause the work is never done if it's fun. It helps me just to know you are near. Times like these seem so rare, there's so few ripples in the air. The night unveils her mystery. I feel awake within a dream where nothing's as it seems. In the dark it helps me see beyond meaning.
My life. my life. Yeah.
Am I wrong to assume if she can't dance, then she can't ooh?
Yeah.
Am I wrong to say if she can't dance, then she can't ooh? Hey, I never wanna waste your time.
My life.
So precious. Is yours, is mine. And look at the time.
My God.
So precious. Is yours, is mine.
Only one at a time.
So precious. Is yours, is mine. Only one at a time.
My life. My life. Yeah.
Nitro, rock the love boat, get high to get low. Kill the Merlot, step in your fast boat. You pick up, we gon' go. Make love once more, we rest and encore. Doodle that, 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 hey. Break you off in your Kit Kat cat, hey. Never seen no one this gorgeous. Pay your whole damn mortgage. But when you look at the time, hey, still you the one on the mind, hey. Still you the top of the prime, hey. Thank God that it's Friday. Tonight, let's be the life of the party.
I never wanna waste your time.
My life.
So precious. Is yours, is mine. And look at the time.
My God.
So precious. Is yours, is mine.
Anderson .Paak and Schoolboy Q, Am I Wrong? There's only a few weeks left in summer. Some perfect late summer jams right after your break here on The Cafe. You may be savoring the end of summer with time out on your patio, drives in the car with the windows wide open, or just enjoying a few more lazy, warm afternoons. It's World Cafe. I'm Rena Duras. To help you with that, you've got some War on Drugs in a minute. But first, a new band to go right next to War on Drugs in your summer playlist. From Florida, this is Flip Turn, Burnout Days.
Thank you. we call it all the same. You were raised on a promise, found it over time. It'll come around to the new way. Oh, watch as it all breaks down here under the pressure. We'll be right back.
I'm Charlie Crockett, and you're listening to The World Cafe.
Got a plane out of Austin, spawning in the drizzling rain. Blue bonnets line the highway sign, let me know it's spring. They wanna put me in a TV show, I don't know if it's right. But I said yes because I can't refuse those Crystal City lights. Crucified son, I was born the lucky one. They can't tell me what I've done. I'm a crucified son. Don't ask me how I started, 'cause right now I can't recall. It's a wonder me and these boys still out here riding at all. There got to be a higher reason, 'cause it ain't pleasure and fame. I walk out the door, they call me friends and drive nails into my name. Crucified son, they tell me I'm the lucky one. They can't tell me what I've done. I'm a crucified son. Look out. If you love your wife, the women there, they sure are pretty. They'll make you lose your mind. Out behind the Nashville Palace, I got lower than I was in Dallas. Selling idols on a souvenir ain't the only thing happening here. Hello. Crucified son, I was born the lucky one. They can't tell me what I've done. I'm a crucified son. Crucified son. They tell me I'm the lucky one. From Houston, Texas to Kingdom Come, I'll be a crucified son.
Music from Charlie Crockett. That's Crucified Son. And that is this hour of World Cafe. I want to say thank you again to Steve and Patrick from Semande for the session you heard earlier, and World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. Also, a huge, huge thank you to our stations across the country, our affiliates who support this show, who bring this show to you. Public radio needs your support now more than ever, and we love those stations, including WGCS in Goshen, Indiana. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My name is Raina Duras. Thank you for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by AEG Presents, bringing Haim on tour across North America this fall. More info at haimofficial.com. And by the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at kaxe.org.